Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 24th of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding to the 23rd of April, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful, beautiful weather today. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with a cool weather during the past couple of days. You know, today being, it's raining today in the Johannesburg region. The Masnoon Dua one should read is, Allahumma inni as'aluka. Allahumma sayyibun nafi'a. O Allah, grant us a beneficial rain. And if it's raining heavy, too heavy, then one should read the dua, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. O Allah, let it rain around us and not on top of us. And at the time of rain, the du'as are accepted. That is one of the times the du'as are accepted at the time of rain. So one should take advantage of this moment at the, whatever jais du'as that you require, whatever your heart desires, then one should also follow the sunnah of standing in the rain and lifting our hands and asking Almighty Allah and beseeching Almighty Allah that whatever du'a that we need, whatever needs and desires that we have, obviously must be halal and tayyib. Whatever desires that we have, that say, Ya Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan halal and tayyib wa amalan mutaqabbala. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. The most shortest dua, yet the most powerful, powerful dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman. Allahumma inni as'aluka Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi ddini wa dunya wa al-akhirah. O Allah, you grant me afia, you grant me ease, fid deen wa dunya wal akhirah, in my deen, in my religion, wa dunya, in this world, wal akhirah, and in the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easier for each and every one of us. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. We're going to now cross over to our brother Alpha Sinkosi, who was on air with us, and he's going to be telling us what's happening between 11 and 12 and 1. Brother Alpha, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Soliman. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Alphas, on this cold Wednesday morning. You know, took us by shock this morning. Around 5 a.m. it started pouring and it hasn't stopped since. How's the weather on your end?
Yeah, no, hey, man, it's pouring cats and dogs, man. But yeah, I mean, I think
yeah, we should also remember the people who are living in the informal settlements and also in the low-lying areas, you know, because they are get affected first during these heavy rains.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a matter of, I don't think the first time, I mean, so the South African Weather Services are sending an alert. So I think those people already know and that they do put measures in place in order to avoid disasters.
No, definitely. Brother Alphas, what's going to be on your show today? Who are you going to be speaking to between 12 and 1?
Well, I think this morning there was a report of the second fire at the Tembisa Hospital. We know that last week there was a fire at the hospital, so this morning there was a report of the second fire that took place. So we're going to speak about that particular issue, looking at the occupational health standards of that hospital. What really causes this fire? Why would a hospital, public hospital, just catch fire, I mean, 2 weeks consecutively? So yeah, we'll speak to that and get detailed reports on that matter. And we're going to speak to Abahlali baseMjondolo, since you speak about the rain. Abahlali baseMjondolo, you know, those are informal settlements in KZN. So we want to talk to them about service delivery, how has government assisted them, you know, the rate of unemployment, service delivery. Now that it's raining, what are some of the measures put in place for them? to be safe. So we'll speak to one of their representatives, and then, yeah, to get all the updates with regards to them and service delivery. Are they being taken care of by the government? You know, why is it that the government towards, you know, that next year, local government elections, you know, they'll be flooding those informal settlements, you know, trying to garner some vote. But yeah, I think we're just going to put a spotlight on the livelihood of the informal settlement dwellers. And then, and we know that tomorrow is the official working visit of Volodymyr Zelensky. So we'll look into Zelensky's visit, and especially after on Monday, Ramaphosa had a phone conversation with Putin, talking about peacekeeping efforts between Russia and Ukraine. So what does this visit mean after that conversation with Vladimir Putin? Yeah, so that's what we'll be looking at this afternoon.
Thank you so much for your time, my brother Alphas, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later.
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much. And that was our brother Alphas Nkosi, and he does the news hour between 12 and 1 p.m. This morning, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, and he asked me, Brother Suleiman, tell me, what is your view on on abortion or giving up a child? So I told him, listen, he's a youngster, you know? So I was trying to explain to him, like from an Islamic perspective, that it is haram to do an abortion. Abortion is haram in Islam, because who gives you the right to take your matters or take Allah's matter into your own hands? You and your partner decided to have, you wanted to increase the ummah, you wanted to have a child. And when this child was born, when the woman became pregnant, then now you want to turn your back and you want to say, you know what, I want to have an abortion. Firstly, how can you ever think that that child has never done anything wrong, even this unborn child, and you want to turn around and you want to say you want to have an abortion? Now, let's look at it from an Islamic perspective, right? There's so many hadith that speaks about abortion. There's a hadith that says, every one of you is assembled in the womb of his mother, and for 40 days in the form of a small seed of a nutfa. And then he becomes a clot for another 40 days, and then he becomes a piece of flesh for another 40 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am Allah, I am Ar-Rahman, who created the Rahim, the womb. So whoever stays connected with it, I will connect him to my mercy. And whoever severs ties with it, I will disconnect him from my mercy. Look how staunch and the warning that Almighty Allah has given the person, that look how severe it is. That, you know, sometimes people, there are people that I know that want to have children, but due to medical reasons, they can't fall pregnant. And as much as they try to have a child, it's through the hukum and will of Almighty Allah. And now you come in here and you're asking me, you're asking me on a general basis, like, what's an Islamic perspective on abortion? It's haram, completely haram. No one gives you the right to take it to your own hands and to go and murder that unborn fetus. Did you actually go one day or search it up and go and see how they do an abortion? It is so sickening that the way they do it, that they take a scissor, and they cut limb by limb of that unborn child. That same child that would have been born in this world. You took it, you felt it was right, because why? You think that because you're not in a financial situation to look after a child. The children themselves bring their own barakah and own blessing, and you want to cut your own blessing, and you decide that, you know what, you're not ready to be a parent. There are people out there that are crying. There are people out there that are banging their heads, that they're making dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, they want to continue their family lineage. But Allah Ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom, infinite mercy, you know, His plan is the best of plan. وَمَكَرُ وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And here you are, given the opportunity of giving the rahmah of Almighty Allah, is a gift of Almighty Allah, and you want to take it into your own hand, and you want to go and abort the child. Astaghfirullah. Allah Ta'ala protect each and every one of us, those that are seeking good children, that one children, Allah Ta'ala bless you all with pious children, and the children that will be the coolness of your eyes and not be a destruction to you. You know, there's some children, I look at them, I'm thinking to myself, you know, you make dua for that poor parent, that what they go through. You know, in this day and age, the children are so, you have to protect your children like you're protecting your iman. That's how dangerous this world is gone. This world is gone so dangerous and so vile that we need to protect our children in every aspect. When they go out, we must make dua for them, that Ya Allah, you protect them from the evils of this world, the temptations of shayateen. It is so sad that how they've been indoctrinated and how they can be, they're twisted and turned into becoming something they're not. Peer pressure. All these things play such a factor in this growing up, because the ni'mah, the child alone is a amana to you as a parent. Is an amana, is a gift, or it's a amana. They put a trust, the child is a trust onto you, because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you that you were the shepherd to your flock, and how did you look after your flock? Did you just let it run loose? Did you give it? Did you tell your child about the word of Allah? How are we going to answer Almighty Allah when our children, you know, we make dua, Allah Ta'ala keep them on Sirat al-Mustaqim. But because of this world and how it is turned, it has gone so evil that when our child steps out, we got that yaqeen, that worry in our heart, that Ya Allah, protect my child when he's going out, when they're going out. It is so sad. We must always remember that even in our the Iman Mufassal, we believe in the seven books. We believe in Amantu Billahi wa Malaikatihi wa Kutubi wa Rasulihi wa Yawmil Akhirih وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad comes from Almighty Allah. Sometimes a person can go through a full term and have a miscarriage. we make dua that Allah Ta'ala protects the fetus and all those who are intending on having children. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and protect the children. But you must always remember, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَالشَّرِهِ, everything good or bad, there is khair, there is goodness in everything. We must never think that Ya Allah, you must never question Almighty Allah's decision, because Allah knows what you do not know. Allah Ta'ala says so many times, He mentioned it so many times in the Noble Quran, that I know which you do not know. Allah Ta'ala is one of the beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim. Allah Ta'ala knows all these things, but we do not know it. We cannot perceive it beyond our brain. That's why when anything happens in our life, we need to understand that there's khair in everything. There's khair in everything, in whatever happens in our life. We turn to Almighty Allah and say, Ya Allah, will you protect us? You know, you read the Masnoon Dua in the morning, Bismillah illadhi la yadhuru ma'asmi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama wa huwa samiul alim. We read it 3 times, Allah Ta'ala protect us. You read the dua before you leave the home, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah il aliyyil azim. Allah Ta'ala protect you. Allah Ta'ala appoints 2 malaika that no shayateen and nothing, no harm will come towards you. Even there's another dua of Abu Dard radiallahu ta'ala an, that when we read that dua, Allah Ta'ala will protect you in whatever circumstances that you are going through. You know, Allah Ta'ala will protect you and your household. You know, there was an incident when in a street everyone's house was on fire, and they came to Abu Dard radiallahu an, and they say, Ya Abu Dard, the whole street is on fire. But Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu wasn't concerned. He says, I know my house is safe. He says, how sure are you? He says, no, because I read this dua, and Allah Ta'ala will protect him. So back to this thing about abortion. It is such a grave sin. You know, I just, when you close your eyes and you think that how can a person, you know, Allah Ta'ala has given you that opportunity of becoming a mother. Allah Ta'ala has given you an opportunity of becoming a father, becoming parents, and you want to throw it away. What chance do you have? Or how certain are you that Allah Ta'ala will give you another chance like this year of becoming a parent? You want to go and murder the child, the unborn fetus. Huh? And then when it comes time, you want to have another child. Allah forbid. You can't have a child again. Medically something, we make dua, Allah Ta'ala protect everyone, but we don't make badwa. But it's a reality, we must think. We must think about all these things. It's gone 10:30 a.m. Central African time. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break. And when we return, we will continue with our program, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
And in this spiritual ecstasy, you're saying, I'm present. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, all I'm present. Labbaik, I'm present. La sharika lak, you've got no partner. Innal hamda, all praise, one ni'mata and bounties, laka is only for you. La sharika lak, you have no partner. Now, there's 2 expressions you are saying in this year. One is that of your presence, and one is that pertaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having no associate, no partner. The very basis and foundation of your iman. What are you trying to explain, you know, basically? You're trying to say, Ya Allah, as I say labbaik on this occasion, tomorrow when the need comes to make jihad, labbaik. Tomorrow when the need comes to wake up a fajr salat, labbaik. Tomorrow when the need arises to help the widows and the orphans, labbaik. Tomorrow to serve my parents, labbaik. I'm present for everything.
Empowering the ummah.
قرآن حیاتِ انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے قرآن حیاتِ انسان ہے قرآن قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے نہ پوچھ تو رتبہ اس کا سن ہر شے سے عظمت برتر ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے کیا شان یہ رب نے دے ڈالی ہر نطق پہ قرآن ہے جاری کیا شان یہ رب نے دے ڈالی ہر نطق پہ قرآن ہے جاری ہو بوڑھے جوایا ہو بچے یہ یاد سبھی کو از بر ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے قرآن ہوا ہے نازل با محبوب نبی مرسل پر قرآن ہوا ہے نازل با محبوب نبی مرسل پر آ دیکھ ذرا تو مسکن کو سینہ نبی انور ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا
25 minutes to 11 Central African time. We're going to be listening to a lecture by Maulana Sulaim Al-Qahtani, and this is the title of the lecture is called The Sunnah of Nikah. The Sunnah of Nikah. So inshallah we're going to listen to the lecture by Maulana Sulaim Al-Qahtani, and thereafter we will terminate the show, and we'll give you the rundown of the show that is going to, of the shows that are to follow during the course of the day.
الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق اللہ العظیم وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم خیرکم خیرکم لأہلہ او کما قال صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Respected علماء کرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, the occasion of nikah, it is appropriate that we consider the first nikah that ever took place in humanity. That was the nikah between Abu al-Bashar, Adam alayhi salam, and Hawa alayhi salam, the mother of humanity. And this nikah took place in Jannat. Generally, various reports we find in the tafasir with regards to this nikah. The crux of it is that Adam alayhi salam had at his disposal all the various Thimar, Qusur, Anhar, etc., in the palaces, the rivers, the fruits, the various pleasures of Jannat he had at his disposal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of human nature that a human being requires company, requires someone he can seek solace in. So he was feeling lonely. And to address this need of humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa. One interesting point we find that if we look in the tafasir, if we look in the books of hadith, when it comes to the creation of insan, of the human being, and particularly the male of the species, there's great detail about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Whereas if we look with regards to the creation of Hawa, of the woman, there's very little detail. And ulama explained that there's a great wisdom and hikmat behind this. They say, woman is a source of concealment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the dignity and the honor of a woman in her chastity, and in her haya and in her shame. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so much of riayat of this, that even with regards to the takhliq of a woman, the creation of the first woman of humanity, that also Allah put a farda over it. Whilst Adam alayhi salam was sleeping, brothers, we are repeating our announcement that please, if you are parked in such a way that you are obstructing anybody, most of those who are parked like that would have come for the nikahs. The nikahs are not taking place immediately. We've got 10 or 15 minutes grace now. So please ensure that we move our vehicles. If you're not sure, also we should check so that we don't have any confusion, people losing their tempers, etc. Whilst Adam alayhi salam was sleeping, in his sleep from his rib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam. So the point we were making is that Allah ta'ala put parda over the creation also of a woman. For us to realize the importance and the emphasis which our Mubarak Deen has placed with regards to parda, with regards to the haya and the chastity of a woman. I am digressing, but one incident comes to mind. In the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not long ago Hajj took place. And the Hujjaj have returned also. And generally we find, to a very large extent, when it comes to the amal of deen or the practices of deen, we tend to go through the motions. But the asbaq and the lessons that we should be taking, the ruh and the hakikat of these amal, very few of us actually bring in our lives. That is why we find many people make Hajj and they come back but their lives haven't changed. Likewise, the month of Ramadan comes and goes, Mubarak occasions come and go, but the change that is supposed to be coming in us, we find that it is not coming. There is one incident which took place in the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is mentioned in most of the books of Hadith. When Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was proceeding on the day of Arafat, he was mounted on his camel, and seated behind him was his cousin Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Fazl was the son of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Fazl bin Abbas was from the Ahle Bayt, the direct descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mounted on his camel, now try and appreciate the veracity of this incident. It is the day of Arafat. It is Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That entire majma and gathering on the plains of Arafat, the focus of their attention is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every one of them had come, one, to have the barakat and the blessing of making Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, to observe the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because after Nubuwwat, this was the first Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making. And this Hajj has to be taught to humanity till Qiyamah. So everyone's attention is focused on him. And in such a gathering, a young beautiful woman comes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a young girl. She was from the Qasam tribe. She had a question. The crux of her question, that O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my father is elderly and he is unable to perform Hajj. Can I perform Hajj on his behalf? Now the masail of Hajj are many, and we find them in many of the books of Hadith. But this particular incident, ulama explained, is found in most of the books of Hadith, not because of her question, but because of what occurred when this woman came and put this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fazl, also a youngster, and a young woman in front. Fazal's gaze goes towards this young woman. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns around, places his Mubarak hand on the chin of Fazal bin Abbas and forcibly turns his chin in a different direction. Then he addresses whatever the question of that woman was, of that young girl. After that, once this incident had transpired, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being uncle, uncle is like a father. So he had certain, could take certain leniencies that others couldn't take. And he poses not an objection, but the inquiry to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that lawaita unuqa ibn ammik. That Ya Rasulullah, in front of everybody, all were looking. It's Arafat, the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone's eyes is trained on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In front of everyone, you turn the face of your cousin away. In other words, the suggestion was there that you brought disgrace upon him in front of everyone. What was the need to do that? Look at the reply which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him. And in that reply is great sabak and lesson for the ummah till qiyamah. The crux of his reply, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she was young, he was young. It was a male and a female. I feared that if I allowed his gaze to go towards her, then shaitan would come between them. Now ask ourselves, who is Fazal? Fazal is from the Ahl Bayt. That young woman is a Sahabi. And what is the martaba and status of Sahaba? The lowest Sahabi, all the Ghos, all the Qutub, all the Abdal. If the whole world were filled with Rabia Basris, collectively they would not in darja and status equal to the dust on the shoe of that young girl who was the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam touching the chest of Fazal, where was the room for shaitan to come? How is it possible in Arafat, his chest touching the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his company, sitting touching his Mubarak body, that shaitan is going to come? And yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that I feared that shaitan would come between them, that is why I turned his face away. In that is sabak for the ummah till qiyamah, that when the door of intermingling of men and women will open in this ummah, when the etiquettes, the rules, the obligation of parda, of concealment, of separation between men and women, when the ummah will turn its back on this, then fitna and fasad will spread in the ummah. That great sabak, that great lesson, that great warning is given through this incident to the entire ummah till qiyamah. And yet we find, my respected brothers, nowadays if we look at the nikahs that take place, if we go to the halls, see the intermingling that is taking place in our own homes, we find so many people, we hear the comment being passed, if I don't introduce my wife to my friend, then I've insulted my friend. And then if you tell him that, why, Islam doesn't allow this type of intermingling. A woman's dignity and honor is in her haya and her chastity. Then what is the response? He says, my heart is clean. My friend's heart also is clean. We don't have any evil intentions. Can your heart be cleaner than the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can your heart be cleaner than the heart of a Sahabi? We find in this ummah, the more we will move away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more zulmat, the more darkness will come in this ummah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Abu Sufyan and he told him, Ya Aba Sufyan. And the address, he may have used the name of Abu Sufyan because Abu Sufyan was in front of him. But not only was he addressing Abu Sufyan, every male, every female of humanity till Qiyamah was being addressed. This address, Ya Aba Sufyan, means, O people of South Africa, O people of America, O people of Europe, O people of Asia, O whoever you may be, whether you are a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a pauper or a king or a ruler, whatever facet or aspect of society you occupy, whatever position you may hold, no matter how many degrees you may have to your name or how intelligent you consider yourself, every human being till Qiyamah is addressed, Ya Aba Sufyan, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing the entire humanity. جِئْتُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَامَةِ الْآخِرَةِ I have come with that Mubarak way of life. Adopt my mole. Make my day your day. Make my night your night.
It's gone 30 minutes to 11 Central African time. And this is where we come to the end of our show. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inshallah, next up will be the 11 o'clock news with Mawlana Zayed Khan. Thereafter will be the bliss of marriage with Mawlana Zayed Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. That will take us up to 12 p.m. Then from 5 past 12 to 1 will be the news hour with the brother Alpha Sin Kosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah A'raf verses 156. Thereafter 1:30 to 2 will be the tafsir from the archives, Surah Baqarah verses 246 to 247. 2 to 3 will be lunch break with brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Nasiha. 4 o'clock will be our news and Asr Azan. 5 past 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. Then 5 to 7 will be Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir Surah A'raf verses 156. 7:30 to 8 will be the Nasiha by Mawlana Dawood Sidat. 8 to 9 will be the medical files with myself and the guest Brent Garvey, who is a body relief practitioner. 9 to 10 will be the repeat of this bliss of marriage. 10 to 11 will be a lecture by Mufti Hashim Bouda, the dua in the life of a Muslim. And then 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaki Al Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. And that's your lineup for today. Inshallah, we'll catch you tomorrow at the same time, at the same place. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.